This is Juno Afternoon. I'm your host today, Cheryl Snyder. Joining me now on the line is Haynes writer Heather Lendy. Heather is a columnist for the ADN. She's the obituary writer for the Chilkat Valley News. She's written several books, and she recently served as an elected official in Haynes. She's here to talk with us today about her new book of Bears and Ballots, An Alaskan Adventure in Small Town Politics. Heather, welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl. And a correction, I'm not a columnist at the Anchorage Daily News anymore. I mean, I contribute sometimes, but I'm not in their regular loop. Okay. But I was for many years.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. So your book is about your experience on the Borough Assembly. What inspired you to run for office in the first place?
Well, you know, it was 2016, and I thought that we would have our first woman president. And I was kind of excited about that. And I thought, you know how that went. And I just thought the time in my life was right for it, that I had the confidence to sort of say what I felt, and that I had enough history in the community and goodwill that it would be a good time for it. Mm-hmm. And I'd been on the planning commission too for 3 years before that. So I kind of thought that I knew my way around a sometimes tense meetings, and I was more familiar, you know, with the ins and outs of borough government, the code, and the issues that come up with planning and zoning are kind of fundamental to a lot of what happens in a community, and they can be pretty controversial. So I thought I was ready for it.
So it sounds like you had some background to rely on in this. Like any of us starting out on a big adventure, we think we have an idea of how it's going to go, and then there's the reality. And I'm wondering how you could describe how that might have differed, what you expected going in and what your actual experience was.
Oh, it was like night and day. And especially, you know, you campaign, and in campaigning, I thought, well, you know, I'm just gonna say what I think when I'm asked. I'm not gonna have those kind of answers that sometimes people give, you know, because they want to get elected, but might not be 100% the way they feel, you know. And I thought, I'll just say what it is, and then if people like me, then I know I'm okay, you know, they were okay with that, and if they don't, they don't. I had no intention of becoming a, you know, career politician or anything. I just wanted to serve on the Borough Assembly in Haynes. So you know, I thought, well, once I got elected, everybody knew where I stood on different things, and that would be fine. And it was just like a slam from the beginning from folks that weren't pleased that two of us had been elected that were seen as, I guess, more liberal than some of the other candidates. And kind of from the get-go, they were not happy.
Mm-hmm. And how did that come out? How were you slammed? What were some of the things that happened that made you realize,
well,
like, oh,
We're going to recall you.
Yes.
Like at your first meeting, they tell you we're getting the recall petitions going and the wrong people voted and you don't represent me and we're getting you out of here now. And that kind of began very quickly. And then there were a bunch of, a couple decisions that happened very quickly that also led to it. And before I knew it, I mean, I was elected in October and by January, the recall threats were very real, and they would be, you know, continue until the recall election in August, you know. So the first, I don't know, 9 months of my tenure on the assembly was that kind of overshadowed everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've always thought people who are in the public eye must have a very thick skin. How did you hold all of that? How did you go through your day to day and do the work that you were elected to do while also juggling this other very difficult thing?
Well, I exercise a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, the self-care. I swim or hike or snowshoe or ride my bike. So that's, you know, a regular part of my day. I'm pretty routine oriented. Also, I walked every day with my friend Beth and my neighbor, and we you know, in all kinds of weather, we go out on the beach and walk for an hour every morning. And so that became kind of like the debriefing or the counseling sessions or whatever. And I dedicated the book to her because if she hadn't listened, there probably wouldn't be a book because I wouldn't have been able to process it. I would be kind of spinning. And then I go for a walk with Beth, and she's not particularly political, never went to a meeting. And so it was just good. We could talk. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me. I think the other thing too, is that I'm kind of a worker. And so I would really concentrate on it, you know, every packet, and really try to do my job really well and be as prepared as I could possibly be. So that when I sat in meetings, even people who may be targeting me for something, they'd have to admit that, gee, you know, she seemed to know something on that sewer project, and she had it right on the, you know, the new ambulance, or, you know, I knew the numbers when we were amending a budget and what they were for. And so I made sure that I at least knew what I was doing at every meeting, and I was well prepared. Mm-hmm. So that if indeed my opinions or my votes might bother somebody, at least it couldn't be said that I didn't know why I was doing that, or I was not capable. And I think that's why the recall was so hard, you know, because to be accused of, you know, sort of misconduct or incompetence. I was like, geez, I'm pretty competent. I can read a 350-page packet, and I can tell you pretty much what's in every part of it. And I've got notes, and, you know, I spend hours on it, like as if I was going to have to give a, you know, report on it when I was done. Even if half of the items on the agenda were the consent agenda, I knew what they were, mm-hmm. and why.
Mm-hmm. So, and I imagine in small town Haines, it's impossible to not run into the people who were, you know, being the most contentious in this. Did you find that inevitably you might be at a meeting and someone is angry and really disagreeing with you, but then you're both at the grocery store at the same time?
Oh yeah, I mean all the time, or a basketball game, or volunteering at an event for another organization, you know. A rummage sale for Hospice of Haines, or, you know, Friends of Recycling something, or whatever, you know, going to a holiday bazaar, you know, and standing at the table next to somebody buying a box of cookies, and, you know, you're buying the cookies from somebody that is unhappy with you for many different reasons. So, yeah, I mean, I think, but on the plus side, I think that's the benefit of being in a small town, especially in these times. And maybe that's some kind of lesson from the book, that, you know, we're not segregated enough where we can be in completely different groups and not see each other. It's impossible, as you say. You know, you go to the gas station and there you are, you know, next to somebody who might have said something pretty awful at a meeting last night, or you know, was really mad at you, or who I might be not so pleased with. But, you know, you're waiting for the same gas pump, and you say hi, and somebody gives a biscuit to your dog, and there you go. You can talk about something besides that, usually.
Bring the people back into the situation, right? The
show, yeah, I mean, I think, humanness. Yeah. It's all about relationships, you know? I mean, that's what life's about. And so the challenge is trying to maintain those. And I think for me, the challenge was thinking, gee, I had these great relationships with people, and realizing I didn't, with as that the goodwill that I might have had toward some of my fellow citizens wasn't reciprocal. And I just didn't ever think that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's the way the world is, but it was a revelation to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a moment and read from your book? I know you have a couple sections earmarked that you could share with us on the air.
Yeah, I thought, just to set up kind of the book and sort of what happened. And this is a story from the beginning that might resonate with folks in Juneau too, and who will recognize maybe my naivete, but also, you know, how life in a small town works. And in Haines, we have many candidate forums during election season. And there were six candidates running for office, and there were three very conservative, and three more liberal. For, you know, those are, for lack of a better term, those are hard to necessarily define in a small town, because it doesn't really always fall on the same ways it does, you know, nationally. But in general, I'd say that would be okay to say. And one of the forums was held by the local branch of the Alaska Miners Association, and it was at 7 o'clock in the morning in the Pioneer Bar. And I'll just read this little bit of it. I answered the first question about any personal connection to mines or mining we may have by divulging that my great-grandfather had been a Klondike prospector, and that my grandfather was a mining engineer who graduated from the Colorado School of Mines and worked in the coal, oil, and gas country of Western Pennsylvania. There's a photo by my desk of a great-grandmother on my mother's side, seated side saddle on a burro at the Mexican silver mine where she taught school. Burro, burro, was it a sign? I told the audience that I love songs about mining, like 16 Tons, but didn't mention John Prine's Paradise about a Kentucky town that Mr. Peabody's coal train hauled away, and literature inspired by mining, from stories like The Luck of Roaring Camp to the writings of Jack London and Robert Service, whose classics, or at least lines from them, Alaskans are familiar with. One of my favorite novels is Wallace Stegner's Angle of Repose. The book is about love and a marriage and is set in Western mining towns. The title is a metaphor. But in reading the book, I learned that practically speaking, angle of repose is the term for the steepest slope at which a hill of loose material, say mine tailings or gravel, is stable. When the phrase was mentioned in a planning commission review of a gravel pit, I knew what it was, thanks to that book. I was so eager to please that I may have even told the miners that they could borrow my copy of it if they wanted to read it. Some of them work in mining camps near Juneau. Others are part of the Constantine Metal Resources crew exploring that potential mine in Haynes. You probably shouldn't mention literature next time, my campaign manager Teresa said as we debriefed over a glass of Prosecco in my kitchen. That's the least of our worries, I said. And I told her what happened when the moderator asked if I supported a so-called Tier 3 clean water designation, the highest protection possible for the Chilcat River, which is right below the Constantine mine site. When the moderator said, yes or no, one word, Diana said no, Leonard said no, Ryan said no, Judy said she wasn't sure, but when pressed, said no reluctantly. Heather? Yes. You said yes, Teresa said, to the miners? Well, yes. Well, she said, never mind that another old and dear friend, road building contractor Roger Schnabel, my daughter JJ's godfather, who I was sitting with in a booth, put his head in his hands and said, oh no, Heather, and I was going to vote for you. And I share that because I mean, I could probably see even in Juneau, people's heart rate goes up when you start talking about mining or rivers or fish. And yet I'm sitting, and the people in the room are friends of mine. Like I like them. And I just had a different opinion about the waterway that runs by my house than pretty much all of them did. But I didn't mean I didn't like them or I didn't like mines, but it was just the times. And I guess I was naive in thinking that that you could just stay friends with people after some of that happens, and it created a lot of tension, I would say.
And are those fences now mended all these years later, or those relationships have just been forever changed?
Oh no, I mean the ones, I put it this way, the ones that were solid already, Roger, people like that were, that's fine. It's the ones that weren't that then got worse. And I don't know whether they'll ever be mended, but it's more like a truce in a family sort of way. I wrote about forgiveness, if you want me to read that little bit,
Sure,
because I
yeah, we
thought a lot
can.
about that, because I mean, that's what a lot of the book is about, and it's kind of a lot about what life is about to a large part, I guess. And let me see if I can find it. I'm shuffling through the book here. I'm not as organized as you probably are.
You're doing great.
This was in it. There was another. There's lots of stories. I mean, there's stories about fun things, not so fun things, interesting things to me anyway. And this was at the end of a particularly difficult meeting when somebody had said something that nearly broke my heart. And but it's also near the end of the book when I had been processing a lot of this stuff. The story of how we shape our common existence, the rules that guide us, and the representatives who create them and to some extent ensure we abide by them has some dazzling chapters. And that dazzling chapters, it's a reference to the epigraph in the front of that chapter is from Howard Zinn, historian. Anyway, some dazzling chapters, and they often contain pleasant surprises, but there are a lot of heartbreaking plot twists along the way. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I believe that if we citizens, we voters, and we elected officials acknowledge this truth, our democracy will be healthier. I hate to sound like a grandmother, but I am one, and so, my dears, learn to share. Take turns and understand not everyone can have everything she wants all the time. Finally, and this may be the most important thing I will ever say about politics and life, accept apologies that won't be offered and forgive people who may never ask you to.
That's great. I have a question about your process in writing. I had the opportunity to spend some time with your book over this last week. And just one thing that caught my attention as I was reading, and we've experienced it today listening to you read aloud, is the level of detail in the telling of the stories. Did you always know that you were going to write this book as you were going through it? Do you keep notes as you go along, or do you go back afterwards and recreate?
Both. Because this was such a hard time for me, I ended up, you know, writing things like I blog or I do columns or I send essays out, and I'd write these, but I didn't send them anywhere because I was still on the borough assembly. I didn't want to add sort of fuel to the fire. A couple of times I blogged a little bit about it and I got trounced on and yelled at. And even part of the recall was that I was trying to use my office for financial gain because of my blog, which I don't get paid for, so I had no money at all. So it cost me money to host it, but it was interesting. So I was afraid almost to write things down, and you know what would happen, and that was unusual for me too. So I just kept the personal notes, and then I thought once the recall happened, well, geez, that's a story, you know, from the beginning to the first election to the second election, two elections in 9 months, there was stories there. And so I had that kind of figured out, and I'd kept, you know, the minutes of the meetings and the packets, and I had a big stack of them underneath my desk and the notes that I took. But then when I went to actually, when it became clear that maybe I could try to write a book about it, I went back and I actually listened to the recordings of the meetings, and I went through. One of the things I did was I went through every single meeting that I'd been in, you know, 2.5 years or so, because I was nearing the end of the process of writing the book. And I listened to them again. And the audio is kind of bad, but you can go to the borough website and listen. And then I'd take notes, and then I'd sort of look at what I was thinking and what was happening in the meeting and put the details in. But then at the same time, listening to it, I was like, wow, I had this writing that this meeting was so awful and it was so tense, but gee, that person doesn't sound like they're foaming at the mouth or anything. They sound pretty calm on the recording. and then I'll hear myself and I'm like, this was when I'm writing it down. It's like, I could hardly speak. I was so upset. It's like, you sounded pretty good, Heather, you know? And so it gave me the narrative distance, I think, listening to it, and made me realize how much emotion that we put in. And so it helped me to write the book, and it also helped me to realize which parts I was just bored to death even listening to, and which parts seemed to be more interesting. And so that helped me decide what went in the book. It's not like a play-by-play of everything. It's sort of thematic, and it's even a book in a way that I wish I'd read before I ran for office.
Well, now maybe there's another woman who will run for office and have the advantage of reading your book in advance and will have a good heads up about things. Yeah.
And they can figure out, they can learn the stuff that I didn't know. I mean, I'm much smarter after writing the book, and I would have probably been a better assembly member if I knew this stuff at the time. But just trying to figure it out as I went along was really what the book is about, I guess.
Yeah. And maybe that's what two terms is for. So you have your second term to get it right.
Yeah, no, I decided it's just not my, I don't have the personality for it. My children told me not to run, and my husband told me not to run, and I and I've been tempted because I am involved and I like it, but it's like, no, my heart beats too fast, and I care almost too much, and I you know, I get like the hives when I talk. I just even thinking about it, you know, I think, oh no, this isn't good for me. There's other ways, you know, you can write letters, you can send emails, you can do phone calls, you can volunteer for an organization that you really like. But for the people who do it, I have great admiration. And especially now in these times with, you know, between the pandemic and, you know, Black Lives Matter and everything that's going on in the world, you know, pretty much exposing, you know, all the systemic racism and inequality and so many of the decisions that are linked to that kind of change are made at the local level in very small ways, you know, from funding after school programs to wages and benefits for people who are, you know, are they the same for the women that work at the library as they are for the guys who work in public works? I mean, it's just interesting to take a look at that and how that works, especially in a small town. And I think it's important. And I spent a lot of the book trying to get used to the system, you know, the Robert's Rules of Order, which I love, you know, civility. I think that's great. I think that helps. But there's a lot of it that's really archaic and that is keeping younger people from being involved in government. And I think we can fix that. And I think one of the benefits of the pandemic is that, you know, the whole Zoom and people are, it's just so much easier to participate, at least in Haines, it has been, than it ever has been before. And people are listening to the meetings, like lots of them.
Well, Heather, we have unfortunately come up to the top of the hour, and we're going to have to close out our time together. We could have used a whole hour with you today reading and discussing your book, and maybe we'll be able to make that happen at another time. For our listeners, the book is Of Bears and Ballots, an Alaskan Adventure in Small Town Politics. Where can listeners find it?
Anywhere books are sold, but I encourage you to get it from a local bookstore in Juneau to help support your own local economy. And I can be found at heatherlendy.com.
Okay, terrific. Well, it was really a pleasure talking with you today, Heather Lendy. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.